This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Tuesday afternoon, February 11th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. The Chicago Sky signed an exclusive deal to broadcast its games locally. We'll cover that in our next segment. Right now, though, dating someone can work from work can prove to be a tricky dance. And we'll talk about romance in the office this Valentine's Day week with Michelle Reisdorf, a Chicago jobs expert with the Robert Half Company in Chicago. Michelle, thank you for joining us today. And oh, what a sticky minefield it is, Michelle, to quote my broadcasting hero, Ron Burgundy, when two co-anchors decide to become co-people. It can work, but if it doesn't work, it can be very messy.
Love the quote. And that is absolutely true. You know, as we all know, it probably happens more often than we know about, but certainly when we do know about it, we want to make sure we just process through it carefully.
Now, one thing that was really notable to me, or I noticed when I started doing the 100th anniversary history pieces for the radio station last year, is just the sheer number of co-workers at WBBM who actually did get married. There were a number of couples throughout the station's history. I think it just says something about the hours of broadcasting, the proximity in which people are together, and those are marriages that have lasted for decades. So that is an example of it working. But what are some of the ground rules that you should probably establish if you do want to date a coworker and that coworker is interested?
Absolutely. So, you know, first thing, I think you need to know what your company's policies are. You know, simply reaching out to ask HR, you know, does our company have policies, and understanding them clearly so you know how to navigate that. But then understanding kind of just, you know, some of the rules are just set some clear boundaries. You know, you definitely want to keep personal and professional interactions separate, right? You don't want to make colleagues uncomfortable. You don't want it, you know, to just kind of mess with workplace operations. Avoid public displays of affection, you know, pretty simple one, but, you know, probably one that needs to be stated so that, you know, people just don't feel awkward. And then to just really think about what will happen, you know, should you break up or things get sticky, you know, not letting those personal tensions affect your work balance.
And then also, what does this mean for you as a manager? Because not only do you have potentially two employees who are dating, but there's going to be talk around the office. There's going to be some gossip. That can be a productivity sink. And some of that office gossip could potentially get into actionable areas in which you, as a manager, you have to address.
Yeah, I think even as a manager, you make a great point. You should also consult with HR and know what the policies are and what the rules are about your communication as a manager. And, you know, provided that, you know, the rules allow it.
There are a number of HR boxes you need to check just to make sure everything passes the compliance test. Michelle Reisdorf, Chicago jobs expert with the Robert Half Company in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, a new broadcast deal for the Chicago Sky.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The Chicago Sky reaching an exclusive deal with Weigel Broadcasting to show the team's games on the U. We're joined by Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Viterra Group in Chicago. Tim, thank you for joining us today. And the most notable thing about this Chicago Sky broadcasting deal with the U, way back when it was Channel 26, it still is, but what does Channel 26 mean in this day and age? The most notable thing about it is there's no app involved. There's no cable television controversy. It's just there on good old-fashioned broadcast television, and in a way, that's revolutionary, especially now.
No, everything old is new again, and the durability of broadcast television continues to amaze. It's always there, right? And the reality is that the Sky is finding, they're just augmenting a relationship that they've had for a number of years. They've been airing a lot of games on the U. Now they're just taking the rest of their local games that were on Marquee Sports Network and bringing them into the fold on over-the-air television. This is actually emblematic of what's going on in a lot of different markets with a lot of different teams of late as the regional sports network space starts to shudder and shake. The dynamics of that business model are crumbling. We see elements of that here in Chicago with both Marquee Sports Network and the very much still fledgling Chicago Sports Network, which still has yet to get a carriage agreement, say, with Comcast. A lot of teams are, in the short term, recognizing that it's better to be on something rather than nothing. And why not go back to television over the air broadcast with a local station, make our games available? At least we'll get reach that way. And we'll figure out other ways to maybe make or regain the money that we used to get from regional sports networks later on. So for the Sky, this is kind of a no-brainer because they weren't getting a lot of money from Marquee anyway for their coverage of their games. And to increase the scale and the reach by sticking with the U. And frankly, I think Weigel's also going to look at other TV stations in the region beyond Chicago to also simulcast these games.
We've talked about in great detail the travails of the cable bundle and what that means to sports teams. But one other aspect of local broadcasting that is probably as disrupted by streaming, if not more so, was the old independent television station model, Tim. And I'm thinking back in the days of you could watch a Channel 50, and yes, they had Star Trek, The Next Generation. They had American Gladiators. They had shows like Renegade, First Run, syndicated TV. But the rest of their schedule was movies and reruns. You would have a Bruce Lee movie marathon in prime time, or we would watch Black Sheep Squadron and stuff like that, all of which has moved over to streaming. And what do you, this seems like it could solve a lot of problems for syndicated or independent television stations that used to rely on reruns and first run syndicated programming, and you can fill that up with sports broadcasts that are now looking for a home.
We are very lucky in Chicago to have a true full-fledged independent station. We've had a few sort of, I mean, WGN has kind of gone back and forth over the years, but in the 90s, most of that independent spirit and those stations really were hoovered up by the advent of the Fox network, and then there were two little networks that now comprise what is known as the CW, and there's MyTV, which is also a brand. So there's very, very few true independent stations left in local markets around the country. And Weigel is doubly interesting because not only have they made the U and the MeTV brand and all the extensions of that, that's the spirit of independent television, right? Svengoolie and all these kinds of things, right? That's very rare in the U.S. now in local markets. And Weigel has sort of embraced that spirit and the fact that they've got a local station here in Chicago, as well as one an independent one in Milwaukee, and it can influence some other stations around the marketplace. That allows them the flexibility to program a whole slate of Sky games and maybe other things beyond just syndicated fare and that kind of stuff. So we're very lucky here, and Weigel's is pretty interesting and special company against the grain, it seems, of the migration to streaming and that kind of stuff.
Not to give anybody any ideas, but as long as the CHSN Comcast standoff continues and people in Chicago therefore have to pull out the rabbit ears and look for Hawks and Bulls games on channel 62 dot something, is there a possibility that Weigel could become the home to even more Chicago sports as time goes on?
I think they are a very unique, leverageable opportunity to do just that. And maybe you can give some hope to White Sox fans, because I think they're next in line for where their games are going to be seen this coming spring. So who knows?
You know, Tim, that could be a favor. And I say this as a White Sox fan. Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Vertere Group in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, sorting out differing visions for the future of mass transit in Chicago.
With lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The Illinois General Assembly will try to come up with answers as lawmakers try to come up with a plan to fund mass transit. One proposal that's being floated involves a merging of the CTA, Metra, and PACE. Let's take a closer look with Joe Schwederman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University in Chicago. Joe, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like lawmakers have two challenges in trying to address the issues that mass transit in the Chicago area and the state of Illinois is facing with the impending fiscal cliff. The COVID relief money is gone. The mass transit agencies will have to make up hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue. And if they do not find that money, the consequences could be dire. So let's talk about potentially the cost savings that come from merging the CTA, Metra, and PACE into one truly regional transit network.
You know, they're really you hit it on the head there. We have a looming crisis, and Springfield is sort of feeling, you know, tell us what's going to be different if we deepen our pockets and expand taxes and so forth. And so that discussion is happening. If you merge the big three service providers, Metra, PACE, and CTA, you get savings. I mean, it's not a lot, but you also may get significant strategic planning benefits of having things together. You know, but what's kind of evolved in the last few weeks is there's really two new proposals that developed that, you know, may not merge the agencies, but will give the Regional Transportation Authority or other entities kind of more oversight, more ability to sort of push for reform. So that debate's heating up right now.
And the other problem is not fiscal, but it's just ridership. And that is, after cratering during work from home in 2020, ridership has recovered to roughly half of where it was in December of 2019. But it's also leveled off. And how do you change transit schedules when you don't live in a 9-to-5 world where everybody goes downtown in the morning and goes home in the evening?
Oh, that's right. And everybody's saying, like, our metro system, you know, needs to look toward a more regional rail model where we may have shorter trains, lighter trains that go more often, you know, every half hour or so. Also, thinking about express bus routes that don't radiate from downtown but connect people to the neighborhoods. And so we're facing kind of a double whammy. We're out without funding after, you know, funding gap looms, and we need to revamp the system. And that's why there's so much attention here to, you know, strategic planning, more coordinated planning between the agencies. And there's kind of two competing proposals on how you do that if you decide not to merge them. And that's just, things are happening really fast here.
And then one other concern that some transit observers have had is that if you do merge the CTA, Metra, and PACE into one organization, who's to say that the CTA, just by its sheer size, won't crowd out the needs of Metra and PACE?
That's exactly echoes the big debate we had when the Regional Transportation Authority was created back in the 70s. The suburbs are saying, no, not so fast. This could be a sinkhole of money into Chicago. And those concerns have alleviated a lot, as we've seen pretty good management of the three agencies. But that skeleton could come out of the out of the woodwork, so to speak, when you start talking about who's going to control the boards, the reduced strategic planning, and so forth. But there's some windows here. I think the gap is so big financially that everybody sees we can't just, you know, put out our tin cup in Springfield and say, pay for this. We got to bring reform to the table. And labor and the RTA both have different proposals that, you know, fall short of combining the agencies, but could give our transit kind of a fresh start with new, more extensive collaboration and so forth.
Joe Schwiederman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead in Travel Tuesday, a trip that features only one sibling from a family.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A winter storm system is headed our way. We'll get a live look at the forecast from AccuWeather. The Trump administration reacts to criticism from the Vatican over the treatment of immigrants. Travel Tuesday, planning a trip with one child at a time. And a Chicago restaurant expert shares his reasons for not dining out on Valentine's Day. WBBM Business, the markets are mixed. The Dow is up 18 points. The NASDAQ is down 79. The S&P 500 is down 8. 24 degrees right now in Chicago with snow flurries. But the fun stuff starts tomorrow. We're looking at the possibility of a significant snowfall on Wednesday. Let's update the forecast with AccuWeather meteorologist Brian Thompson.
Yeah, Rob, we're going to see the snow move in late tomorrow morning, and that's going to continue through the afternoon and into tomorrow night before the snow tapers off. Some of the snow could be on the heavier side, leading to some slow and slippery travel. Snow accumulating about 3 to 6 inches across the southern suburbs, northwest Indiana, probably closer to 6 inches in the city, and then perhaps some higher amounts the farther north and west you go. And it's going to be quite cold, temperatures dropping into the teens with that snow falling tomorrow night. And then we'll see things gradually improve. Although, again, it's going to be quite cold behind the storm into the day on Thursday. Brian Thompson, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
It's 12:32. A key player in the Trump White House is taking on the Pope.
In a letter to U.S. bishops, Pope Francis criticized the Trump administration's mass deportation plan of undocumented immigrants, warning that the forceful removal of people purely because of their illegal status deprives them of their inherent dignity and will end badly. While at the White House today, Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, responded,
I like how it works for the Pope.
And he said what the Pope needs to do.
He ought to fix the Catholic Church and concentrate on his work and leave border enforcement to us.
Steve Stacy Lynn, CBS News, the White House.
It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are mixed. Joining us with what's the latest and what's moving Wall Street is J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America, president of Tasty Trade in Chicago. J.J., thank you for joining us today. And it seems like a day the markets are essentially treading water. You do have Fed Chairman Powell saying that there's really no change in strategy compared to the last news conference after the most recent Fed policy meeting.
Yeah, I mean, Chairman Powell gave as beige paint an answer as you could, quite honestly, when talking about what his plans were for future rates plans. He didn't mention hikes, which I think the market received favorably. So, you know, this used to be called the Humphrey Hawkins testimony, where the Fed chair went to the House and Senate. So tomorrow is day two on the other side of Congress. So we'll see what he has to say tomorrow. But today was very benign. And so, the thing I think that most market participants are watching today, Rob, is this is the fourth session in a row where we see the 10-year yield rise. So we continue to see the bond sell-off. So I think that is what people are paying attention to, you know, the fact that the Fed cut rates now over a month ago, and yet we've continued to see interest rates on the long end of the curve go higher.
Now, what kind of story is the bond market telling? And it seems like they were going in different directions from Election Day onward. I mean, equities liked and then loved the possibility of a lighter regulatory touch, but it seemed like the bond market was concerned about trade and tariffs and inflationary pressures therein. Is that still the case today?
Yeah, I think, you know, overall, the market is worried about exactly what you're talking about in terms of trade and tariffs. You know, as we saw President Trump in his first term doing the same thing in his second term. And what I mean by that, he will make a large statement and then, you know, back it off over time as he uses that as a negotiation point. We did see some settlement on, steel yesterday, but I think a lot of the other things are still up in the air. And that is what has the bond market cautious, in my opinion, as we, continue down the road. And also some prices have come down, but, you know, we're still seeing some price pressure in a lot of areas that affect the consumer. Even though the one area where you tend to see it the fastest being the price of gasoline has stayed tame, although we do see crude oil up this morning, in this morning's trade. So we'll see if that continues.
On the earnings front, I guess you can just summarize it today with investors having a Coke and a smile. The Coca-Cola strong earnings in their fourth quarter report.
Yeah, it's amazing to see these sort of old school, if you will, firms. We had McDonald's yesterday with a nice performance. Coca-Cola today having a very, very strong performance. I think their revenue jump surprised a lot of people overall. What is really amazing is that you continue to see them with organic growth. And I think that that's really the story. And their unit case volume rose 2%. And why that was important and why people have latched on to that is it fell 1% last quarter. So, you know, continuing to see the demand for the product. And, you know, as you look around, they've done some partnerships with things like milk, et cetera. So they have been creative in continuing the pipeline, even though many had feared with a new cabinet in terms of health in the Trump administration that it might affect the stock very negatively. But they have continued to hang in there overall.
J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America, president of Tasty Trade in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Travel Tuesday, making a trip special by taking just one child from the family.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday, and we will talk about the idea of taking just one kid on a vacation, a memorable experience for both a parent and child, and also a great opportunity for bonding. But let's talk about the ways to do it right with Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors based in Scottsdale, Arizona, the website travelbta.com. Angie, thank you for joining us today. And this can be a memorable experience, that one-child trip. But before you plan it, what are some things you need to keep in mind?
Yes, I am a proponent for this commitment and investment in your child. No child is alike. Kids don't necessarily belong in the same schools, even if they're in the same family. And I think when you look at their interests and also age differences, investing in that one-on-one time with your child and incorporating travel into that time together can be so rewarding.
And when you first say we're going to do a one child trip, you probably have to tell the other kids that your turn is coming eventually.
Right. I mean, there's this notion that we need to be fair to all children. But how do you define fair? In my opinion, there's a level of equitability when you set expectations with the family together. Maybe it's a certain milestone that says when you turn, 10, we're going to take a trip. So first child gets that experience at 10, 2-3 years later, the second child receives that experience, or maybe it's a graduation gift. So I think setting the expectation that you're going to provide that experience for both children or more children, knowing that it's going to be designed with the child in mind.
Now, I'm thinking back to a parent and child trip that my dad did back in back when my youngest sister was in grade school. They went to New York to see a Broadway play together. Is that kind of the typical parent and child vacation?
Well, it usually is around a significant interest of the child, correct? So, for example, when my brothers were growing up, my dad would take them to the Boundary Waters. I wasn't invited on those trips. But then when my, parents had the opportunity to go into the city where they could expose me to theater and nice dining, I was older than my brothers, that would be something that they would consider just having their daughter attend. I think you find similarities. Sometimes it's mother-daughter trips. Other times it's father-son trips. And then we've also seen the flip side where it's a mother-son trip. Mom taking the son to Disney, dad taking his daughter skiing. So you can really be creative. And the focus oftentimes is the interest, not so much the destination. And then when you explore that interest, you can really unveil the destinations. If someone enjoys hiking, you might want to take them to Costa Rica, Portugal. If your child really enjoys the arts, you're going to go to a destination where there's galleries, music, theater. So really exploring the opportunity to travel for something that you both enjoy doing together, sports, Taylor Swift. Those have been popular itineraries where it allows for someone to travel with their child and really give them a gift. Birthday presents is another way to allow the child to receive this gift without necessarily affecting the other child because it's associated with their birthday.
And it seems like the most important thing above and beyond the destination is building an itinerary and building a set of experiences that really allow for you and your child to make lifelong memories, that the real win is just the bonding opportunities that take place along the way.
That connection is so important. I think that's what you're going to find most valuable, is that you're able to have this one-on-one time. Oftentimes as a family, there's a lot of distractions, whether or not it's the siblings bickering, sometimes it's age differences where a destination is more appropriate for an older teen, less appropriate for a younger child, a destination like Morocco or where you're having to maybe it's more physical, someone who likes to bike and it's safe for, a teenager, but not necessarily safe for, a 7-year-old. So keeping those things in mind. And I do think that focus on the memory and being able to have that one-on-one, connection with your child and eliminating the stress that, quite frankly, sometimes, the family all together can be stressful. The other thing that I think people don't realize is that maybe you look at this as taking two trips and, wow, that's more expensive. But on the flip side, I can tell you sometimes it actually creates value and savings because mom and daughter can take a trip. It's one room. It's paying for, two flights instead of, four flights all at once. So you're able to take these smaller trips that are maybe more economical than if you were to take a big trip together as a family trying to do, it just the compound effect of more people traveling together can increase the price.
Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors based in Scottsdale, Arizona. Find her online, travelbta.com. Thank you for joining us on this Travel Tuesday. And coming up, why you should skip the restaurant on Valentine's Day.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Friday is Valentine's Day, and restaurants will be packed, and that may be a good reason to skip dining out. We welcome in Doug Roth, founder and president of Playground Hospitality in Chicago. Doug, thank you for joining us today. And first off, let us say right off the bat here, we are not giving you an excuse if you forgot to make plans for Friday. This is actually some practical, actionable information for you, why you should not go out to a restaurant on February 14th. And Doug, as someone who's been in and around the restaurant business, would you go out to dinner on February 14th?
Gee, Rob, I was going to ask you the same thing, but I you beat me to it. Actually, no. I find that that day, along with New Year's, Mother's Day, there are such high expectations that people have. Because if it isn't your mother, where that has the number one expectation, number two is going to be your significant. And if, or your date or whoever you're necessarily with, that you want perfection. And if there's not perfection, because it's difficult on those holidays to have perfection in a restaurant, then people are disappointed.
I was going to say, what? First off, we are not going out on Friday because I have to do TV on Friday night. So it's the oldest excuse in the book, Doug. It's the old I have to be on Chicago Tonight ploy. But no, I actually have a TV hit on Friday, so we'll be eating in. But when you look around at tables on Valentine's Day and you see diners, they expect perfection. Does that mean a lot of people who are in the restaurant, they're not really enjoying themselves? They're actually white knuckling the entire experience, making sure that every phase of the meal lives up to what they had in their head?
Well, I think that does happen. I mean, I think it all depends on the nature of the relationship and obviously how important. I mean, some people are going to propose that evening, and some people are just doing it by mechanics. What's interesting, though, just on a side note, that Valentine's is really sort of going through a little bit of a change, and that you're going to see more couples, you're going to see double dates, you're going to see groups of friends that are planning to go out for the occasion. So it's not as traditional where we used to have to take out all of our four tops and put in deuces because the whole restaurant was going to be two tops or two people dining together. So it is a little bit of a change, but I think the fact is that there are other days that are just as romantic. And the biggest thing that I find a problem with is the prefix menu. I am not a lover of prefix menus. If I want the howdy doody sundae and they don't have it on the menu for Valentine's, I'm going to be upset.
I was going to say, I mean, February 14th is a very busy day. What is February 15th like in a restaurant, or the 16th, or the 17th? I mean, if you want to do the restaurant a favor, should you go the day after, or maybe 2 days after Valentine's Day?
Perfect. Well, this year, I mean, Saturday night will be busy, obviously, and Sunday, obviously, falling on a weekend. But those are as far as I'm concerned, they're just as good as Valentine's Day itself. I guess it all depends on who you are, what you believe in, and I don't believe necessarily the date has to be the date that you have to celebrate.
Doug Roth, founder and president of Playground Hospitality in Chicago, thank you for joining us today.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.